You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
All right, first time in a long time. Noodles, back in studio.
I feel like I've been gone for a month.
Back in Toronto.
Yeah.
What a wild scene. You were in Philly last night, too. You got to see what was just an outstanding hockey game last night.
Yeah, outstanding around.
Like, yeah, it was quite the evening last night.
It was for a while. Even though I was telling both of you off air, like, that was one of the more uninteresting games I've ever called in color in my, whatever, 5 years of doing it. And I call Sens games. Sens games at least are more high event. There's goals, there's turnovers, there's lots of things happening. There was a point in the first period where I looked over at Gord Miller. I think he talked for 7 minutes straight because there was just, it was two teams skating around out there. Like,
you must
nothing,
have started laughing.
I didn't know what to say because I was like, there's nothing I can talk about because we're all watching it. I'm watching it too going, yeah, there's a turnover in the neutral zone. A little dump in, okay, and a change. And then Gord goes, yeah, there hasn't been a whistle in 4 minutes. And then there hasn't been a whistle in 7 minutes. But there wasn't anything
going on.
Nothing
ever happened. Nothing ever happened. It was a game that filled out the schedule last night.
Yeah.
Well, don't you notice that in this day and age, and this has nothing to do with what's been going on with the coaches or anything, it seems like with sports science, and I was talking with somebody about this yesterday, that it seems like with the sways, negative or positive, teams are just saying, we don't have it tonight. And when we don't have it, it's like, there you go. How many teams have real bite back where they'll come back and they'll fight and they'll scrap? Yeah. I got two teams that come to mind.
Florida?
No.
Okay.
Guess who they are?
Boston?
One.
What?
Islanders?
St. Louis Blues?
Yeah.
Guess
right.
who were in the Stanley Cup Finals last year? They got some, like, you know what, if they're down after two periods, they'll find a way to get it done. They'll claw back, they'll scrap back. You just, in the whole league, you're going through the whole league. It just seems like, well, we don't have it. That's what it felt like last night.
Yeah, it's like load management that gets activated during the game.
Yeah.
Like, you're halfway through it, and you're like, let's just chalk this one up to a load management. No one get too crazy out here. Yeah. I never saw a chirp. I never saw someone say anything to the other team.
Yeah.
I can't remember anyone even talking to the other team. And this is Philly as well. It's not like they're the Broad Street Bullies and they were trying to drag the Leafs into a war. It was both teams that were fine with just playing a game of shinny. And
yeah, Philly's just as guilty of that, too.
Listen, they won, so they're happy. They got their 2 points. They don't care about the style in retrospect.
Yeah. They didn't need to chirp. They didn't need to do anything. They just needed to do what they did.
But I know, but how often do you get through a sporting event? Not just hockey. Sporting event.
You on a Thursday night at a rink here in Toronto, there's probably a chirp or something.
Go to a bowling night, and you'll have chirping.
Yeah,
some guy stepped on the line.
Yeah.
What's his name? Pete Weber.
Yeah, Pete Weber. Whoever you think you are, I am. Right? Or the Big Lebowski. That's real life stuff. You stepped on the line at beer night at the bowling alley, there's going to be a chirp.
Yeah.
I don't think it happened last night.
It was a very weird game to call and be around. The atmosphere was... I'm sure guys tried hard, but the intensity didn't look through the roof. And I looked afterwards, the hits and stuff. That's not really a great indicator. Because the Leafs aren't a physical team, and I had all this stats package pulled together with Mike Kelly and SportLogic talking about loose puck recoveries and stick checks because Matthews and Nylander, the game before, had been really strong at it. And then that didn't happen last night. I didn't think, you know, Austin's obviously under some fire right now, and, you know, Kevin Hayes kind of walks him on that goal and is easier to get to the net. Like, Kevin Hayes looked like Wayne Gretzky out there in a couple shifts where you're like...
I thought he looked worse on the Giroux goal.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was standing there with his stick in the air just watching the play.
Yeah, and CeCe had kind of sucked back like that. That pairing's had a rough
goal. Giroux goes right down Broadway and goes, thank you. Like, right after they tied the game.
Yeah.
That quickly, it's like, all right, we'll just go up 2-1, I guess, and take 2 points. Like, is that what you're allowing us to do? Philly must have been shocked. Like, they must have got to the bench and said, I can't believe that just happened.
Yeah.
Like, that was the top pairing and the number one line, and it could not have been an easier shift. That no one got touched.
Yeah.
Nothing. Just cycle. Oh, there's our best player in the slot, wide open. I guess I'll just pass it to him.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Like, they are so bad defensively.
Yeah, and that's something that needs to be cleaned up.
And Sheldon Keefe wants to clean it up.
Yeah, and they're
the messaging is different.
Yeah,
but he's no different than Babcock, than anybody else.
Right.
He's a coach. He's going to be concerned with the defensive play. A lot of the messaging publicly has been about, you know, special teams, puck possession, wanting to put the opposition in precarious positions.
Right.
But you know, privately, he's talking about defensive play. It has to be the top priority.
Sure.
Well, it has to be.
Barry Trotz cleaned it up in one season.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about, ever since I started working with both of you, we've talked about them in their own zone.
So maybe it's not the coach.
I don't know.
But
like that we're going to find out. It's been six games for Sheldon Keefe.
Right.
This isn't even about Keefe, and he deserves a lot more games.
Right.
Before you can really say, okay, he's had an opportunity to let his message sink in multiple times. He's been pushing it. He's been maybe penalizing players in different ways for not doing what he wants them to do. But
to me, that's a 20-game. Like, you got to give him 20 games. Him.
Yes, for sure you do.
Him, not the players.
But there isn't a player that's in the history of the game that ever thinks it's a good idea just to stare at the puck.
At this level?
At this level. It doesn't matter who the coach is. No one's going to say that was the plan.
No.
Like, it's ridiculous how awful they can be defensively and how careless they can be.
Well, guess what's waiting for them tonight?
Yes. Colorado waiting for them.
Nathan
didn't play last
McKinnon.
Night. Well, and here's a challenge to 34, because he has taken a lot of heat in this marketplace, and he deserves to.
Right.
Because two of the last three games, he's been the biggest negative on the ice. Friday in Buffalo and last night in Philly.
Yeah.
Overall, any given day, Nathan McKinnon's a better player. Nathan McKinnon is a top three or four player in the world.
Yeah.
But any given day, anyone can say, I'm going to own a game.
Yeah.
Let's see what you're made of tonight.
Right.
I want to see 34 in particular dominate tonight. I'm not sure I'm expecting it. I'm not necessarily expecting it. And I don't want to hear, well, it was a back-to-back, so we didn't have it. But
I'm not even sure if he gets that assignment, to be honest with you.
Well, Tavares had the Giroux line a lot last night, and that didn't go so well either.
Yeah.
Now, Mitch Marner's returning.
Yeah,
so Marner's coming back.
It's going to spark the team.
Yep.
You know, he is a breath of fresh air. He's an energy guy. He may drag some guys into
big
it,
time.
Which is a great thing.
Yep.
You know, Nazem Kadri has this circled on his calendar, and he's going to want to be a difference maker. But so are, you know, he's a guy that could drag the Leafs into something by osmosis the other way, because you know he's gonna, you know, Naz, he's gonna want to be involved physically.
He will make a statement. I don't know if the Leafs have it in them to ever get dragged into anything.
They
have not shown that at any point this year.
Yeah,
that they're interested in trigger moments where it's like, okay, now we're gonna hop.
See,
that doesn't mean they can't play well or won't play well.
Right.
But I don't picture they've been on the wrong side of big hits before.
Right.
Like, we saw Jeff Carter, we saw Jeff Petrie, we've seen a couple of massive hits.
Yeah.
And they just kind of continue to go about their business. That's who they are and how they're built.
I don't think they're a team that's built that way to be overly physical, but that doesn't mean you can't be overly aggressive and win loose puck battles. And that's what I was more looking for. You know, Willie Nylander and Austin Matthews against Buffalo, I had them, or SportLogic had them, I didn't, for loose puck battles, winning like 3 and 5, the most in the game.
Is that on Saturday night?
That was on Saturday night. So, you know, hunting pucks at critical times. Because that's how that team's built. They're not going to run you through the boards.
No, and that's
but
fine.
But you have
that's
to win the loose puck battles and use your pace. They had, like, Carter Hart made some great saves yesterday. I you know, that game could have looked different early on. Because I think the shots were 15-7 in the first period. The power play looked really good. Hart made the glove save on Matthews. Hart had a couple redirects in front. Like, they score a goal there. Maybe the game just looks different. You know how early on sometimes you just feel. But Philly didn't give middle ice up. Second period, like, Philly just shrunk the ice. And you got to work to get to the middle. You know who's a stud is that Provorov. The hell of a player.
Mm-hmm. But that's exactly what teams are doing. They're saying, we're gonna challenge you as a team to fight through us.
Yeah.
Because if you get through us, we're in trouble because of your talent level.
Right.
But we're going to challenge you. We're not going to chase you around the outside, which is where you want us with your stop-ups, and you want us to follow you around the ice.
Come on in here.
Come on into the middle and let's see what we got. And more often than not this year, they've not been willing to do that. Now, let's see what happens tonight. Tonight might be more of a run-and-gun game. Rantanen's back in the lineup. I think Landeskog might be returning tonight as well. McKinnon, Kadri. Like, Colorado's a really good team.
Yeah.
It sounds like Anderson might start tonight.
Yeah.
Now, that has not been confirmed. We'll find out probably in the next hour or so.
Yeah, I didn't think he would.
Well, he didn't skate today, so. But I mean, I know he played last night, but there's talk that. I think there was only two guys on the ice today or something, wasn't there?
Hutchinson was on the ice,
right,
and Freddie wasn't. Now, that's not a surprise. Freddie may just say, I'm not skating. Right. I played last
night.
And
when I was a backup, like, if I was starting that night, I would like shots in the morning.
Right, exactly.
My only question, because I was traveling, is, and I would ask it to Kristen or whoever was down there, is how long did Hutchinson stay out? Did he stay out an hour with the guys and get a really good workout in, or was he out there 20 minutes getting a lather on to get the gear loose?
Mm-hmm.
I would still think Hutchinson's playing tonight. I don't think I can't even believe that game was 6-1. It was 3-1. Like, it was a 3-1 game and 4-1 empty netter. It's over. All of a sudden, it's 6-1.
I know. It was so weird.
Like, that.
It was such a weird
I still
ending.
Had a tough time wrapping my head around two goals scored after the empty netter. Like, that just. And Matthews wasn't wrong. They quit. Like, guys just. I don't even know if guys cared. The only guy I felt bad for was Spezza on the change. The Gostisbehere goal. Now Freddie needs to make that save, but you know, at that point he'd had enough.
There was a part of Freddie that also kind of pulled the shoe.
He was Gary Thorne at
said,
the end.
It's over, you guys have mailed it in, I'm gonna mail it in.
Yeah.
And yeah, Sheldon Keefe went in after the game. I guess he doesn't regularly do that. And he went in and spoke with them and said, guys,
Unacceptable.
And he also said, hopefully it's a spark that we need, which I'm having a tough time kind of analyzing his comments compared to where the rest of the team is. Like, I've noticed like a split in the fan base. A lot of fans that are like, no, they're 4-2. Well, they're 4-2 under Keefe, but in the big picture, they're not. They've played 28 games, I believe.
Right.
They're not 4-2. 29 games.
Yeah, tonight will be the 30th game.
Yeah. What they're actually 13-12-4.
Right, one game above 500.
You can't just pretend like the first 23 games or whatever didn't happen. It's all a part of the grind here. So, you know, Sheldon Keefe, he gets a clean slate in terms of the message he's trying to send.
For sure.
In terms of how he's handling the media. And I think he's handled it well. I don't think he's been honest. He was honest that he didn't like their game last night. He was honest on Friday. He didn't like their game in Buffalo. But the idea that this team needs another spark, they just fired the coach 2 weeks ago. Like, you're looking for another spark? Come on, guys. Let's go here. And, again, some people are willing to give them that pass. Like, hey, they're working on some new stuff, and there is some truth in that. But effort is effort, regardless of who your coach is or what the system is.
Yeah, you go down swinging. I'd rather go down swinging with working errors. Other than standing around airs, like going, how did that happen? You know, what's going on here?
Yeah, and let's see what they got tonight.
Yeah, response.
They got a big stretch here. They got Colorado tonight, at St. Louis on Saturday, and then out in Western Canada next week.
Some heavies.
Some big games. Yeah. Like, good teams that are going to challenge you. And it's a tough stretch.
Yeah.
But, listen, they're right there with Florida and Buffalo and Montreal and Tampa. Boston won again last night. They're going to win the division by 25 points.
They're going to do what Tampa did last year.
Yeah, they're gone. Yeah. They're out of it, but we'll debate who else is going to be in it in terms of the remaining 50-plus games. And there's still a lot of time.
There is.
A lot of time. They still have talent and all that, but at some point they got to prove that they're not a mediocre or below mediocre team, because that is what they've been through 28 games.
The word trend, like, there's some concerning trends regardless of the coach, and I think that's where you're coming back to, is
right, exactly,
that's the same roster, different coach, different mindset on certain things, but the trend that we're seeing is concerning regardless of what side of the fence you're on. That's
exactly
where you're watching and going, that probably shouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
That shouldn't happen
regardless of the system, regardless
honestly
of the coach.
And a former goal, what worries me in watching Freddie skate off yesterday, he had such a fantastic November. You don't want to start a month like that. Like, you need a bounce back, and not only Freddie, but the team needs a bounce back. Games like that, they wear on you. Like, you wear them a little bit.
Well, they've had a couple of them recently.
Yeah.
Like, they in Pittsburgh, Yeah. Circumstances are different. We know Babcock, he was on his last leg. It was a weird time around the team, but still, they just said, we're not interested in playing tonight.
Yeah.
And last night, I wouldn't say they weren't interested in playing, but by when it hit 3-1, they said, we're done.
Yeah, game was over at 3-1, 4-1 iced it, but it was like guys just went into the dressing room.
Yeah, like you still got to finish it out here.
With 2 minutes left, or a minute and a half, and like Gostisbehere didn't even want that breakaway, but it was such a bad change, he's like, all right, I'll just skate in here and take a slap shot.
Yeah, collect some points.
Yeah.
Fantasy night. Yeah, so it was a weird night for the Leafs. The Raptors, they battle back, they get to overtime, and they lost pretty... It got ugly in overtime for them. And Nick Nurse had a great quote today. He's like, if there wasn't a scoreboard, you would have thought we were down by 35. Like, they did not play well last night either. But you talk about a team with a free pass.
You know, their first home loss.
First home loss of the year. Yeah. It goes to overtime. They still battled. There's a team. Like, the Raptors, they did not have it last night. They didn't have it. They weren't shooting well defensively. They didn't play that well. Jimmy Butler was carving them up. They found a way to push it and give themselves an opportunity to win. They had a lead late in the game. You know, defended well late to push it to overtime. Got to overtime. Yes, it got away from them, but you'll take that. Like, there are certain moral victories in a loss.
But now they're thinking,
when that's how you lose.
We lost at home. Now we got Houston coming in. We don't want to do it two games in a row.
Did you see that play in the Houston game last night where Harden... He dunked the ball, and it went through the net and then looped back up, and it looked as if he basically got stuffed by the rim, but he didn't. Watch it. There it is on TSM4. Okay. Like, it goes, it's in.
Oh, that came around, yeah.
They called that no basket. They called it as if he got stuffed by the rim. Now, at that point, there were about 7 minutes left in the game. They were up by, I think, 13 points. They ended up losing in overtime.
How is that not a basket?
Well, it is a basket. That's the whole point. Now, what they are saying, Houston, though, this is so naive. I almost appreciate it. They've come out, I guess, you know, through the media, they're issuing statements that they believe the league is either just going to give them the win because that should have been a basket. I guess they're saying we should have actually won by two as opposed to it being tied going to overtime. Right. They blew a 13-point lead against San Antonio, who's been terrible.
Yeah.
Or the league is going to issue... a protest, or grant them a protest, a successful one, and they're going to replay the final 7.5 minutes.
Come on.
Which is never going to happen.
San Antonio wants that, but Houston doesn't.
No, San Antonio won the game. San Antonio doesn't want to do that.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want to replay. But the NBA's not going to do that. Like, it's
you
a game in November.
Actually,
let me take that back. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to show up somewhere and play 7 minutes.
Right. Even Houston's like, who cares? It's a loss. We're still going to the playoffs.
Their record is going to be so great that they don't even need to do that.
I would love for the league to be like, yeah, go ahead. Play 7 minutes. If fans show up, wouldn't that be crazy?
That would be. You know what would be the best is if they really penal. They're like, you really want to do it? All right, 5 a.m. That's when you can come back and play. That's what, no one in the stands, no cameras. We'll have someone there, an official scorekeeper. 5 a.m. you can play the final 7.5.
I would like to see it.
It would be so goofy.
What if Sheldon Keefe filed a protest last night when the score got to 3-1? Said, you know what, something was up. We'd like to replay that last 7 minutes of the game. I think the Leafs would sign off on it.
I think the Leafs would have to at this point.
Yeah.
Because they need every point they can get. But they would be ridiculed. Like, the league would be
crazy.
Like, listen, it was a mistake.
Yeah.
Yes, it should have counted for two. You're up 13, though, still against one of the worst teams in the league. Close the game out.
Yeah.
And then when he went to overtime, went in overtime.
Yeah, that's funny.
But the audacity to be like, we expect them to actually just grant us the win or allow us to play the final 7.5.
I would love to see the final 7.5.
So would I. I really would.
Yeah.
Just to see the effort, because it would be the worst effort ever put forth in NBA history.
Well, San Antonio would say, you know what, screw it. You give it to them.
They'd probably just say, if you want it that bad, you can have it.
Yeah, they're not going to get that.
Because we don't
wins.
Care. Yeah. We're done. We're not making the playoffs. We're going to trade DeRozan.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Go ahead and take it. Our boy Matt Stajan will join us in about 10 minutes.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, officially announcing his retirement yesterday. 14 years in the NHL, just got to 1,000 games. I think he's at 1,003. That is a veteran move.
It is.
You got to hit the fourth digit.
And he played for like Red Bull Salzburg last year, I think it was.
Yeah, he was in Germany, I think.
Yeah.
And I think he had the opportunity to go back, and he just said, that's enough.
Well, I don't think he's struggling financially. He made a lot of money in his career.
Yeah.
I hope we'll have to ask him how the body is. I mean, I'm sure there's some.
Well,
aches
he didn't
and pains.
Hit a guy in 10 years, so he yeah. should be all right.
Yeah, he wasn't exactly Eric Lindros. I think he's probably fine.
Yeah. He came out better than when he went in.
I'll bet you he is in pristine shape. Like, I blew my knee out a couple years ago. I'll bet you his yeah. body's perfect.
No, he's running marathons. You know he's like, I'm golden.
We should find out, like, if he, what type of shape he's going to be in 6 months from now, a year from now.
Yeah, I think.
He was in really good shape at the end of his career, because he had to be. But, like, I wonder if he's a guy who could battle the bulge.
I don't know. I don't think he'd be naturally heavy.
He's too
heavy.
Skinny to be, like, he.
Yeah, he's kind of lanky and stuff, but I could see him. He'll something will happen there.
Yeah, we got to ask him about
something that. Will happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll ask him what's most likely to get away from you.
Well, he went Messier.
Yeah, his hair, that was about 5, 6 years ago.
15.
15.
He could have gone Messier year 2 in the NHL as a 19-year-old.
Yeah, it was thin. It was thin coming out of junior. So Matt Stajan will join us in about 10 minutes. Ray Ferraro, who he received his Elmer Fudd Award last night. Noodles. You received your Elmer Fudd. We're going to play both audio clips.
Oh, yeah.
You disappointed me last night.
I told you I wasn't doing it.
Fredo Corleone over here. You couldn't mix in. Like a candlelight.
Did he have a trigger word, too?
Well, we were trying to go 3 for 3.
It was about them, not me. Like, they were doing the games.
Okay, we'll come back and we'll let you hear the audio of Noodles going Stephen Caldwell last night. Ray went Luke Wallman, basically, out in Vancouver.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty good. So we'll play that, and the Elmer Fudd Awards will be handed out. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, so it was a very notable afternoon yesterday here on Overdrive because a new award was created. And it's exclusively our award.
Yeah, fill me in on this. Because, I mean, obviously my Twitter inbox was filling up, and I didn't understand. And then the grappler sent me a note, like, any chance you can work in some words? And I'm like, trying to work here.
That's the thing. I was talking about that on the air. I was going to send you a text, and I'm like, I don't want to get in your head.
Grappler
about,
didn't care.
Yeah, he grappler, care. He blew right Zero past shame. That stop sign.
Zero shame whatsoever.
Absolutely no shame.
Yeah.
So, because remember when the MLS Cup was on?
Yeah.
We came in and we were talking about Stephen Caldwell and some of his sayings.
They were the best.
The too. Best. Tantalizing match and blistering counterattack. And that was a half chance. There were a bunch of them that were spectacular sayings.
Yeah.
And we want them to start being infiltrated into the hockey vernacular or just sports in general. Yeah. Like, I'd like to see Tony Romo mix in tantalizing match on the weekend. I think CBS might be calling Pat's Chiefs. I mean, that will be a tantalizing match with a couple of blistering counterattacks.
I was ready to throw all three words in there, but the Leafs put up such a dud, there was no blistering counterattack whatsoever.
No, none. From either team, none.
I kept thinking, it's 1-0, the Leafs are going to intercept a puck in the neutral zone and go flying the other way, Kapanen or somebody, and there's your blistering counterattack.
Never presented
Feathers.
Itself.
And then the other one was there was no way I was getting
tantalizing match. You can't get in because no one says match over here. Like, there's no match. No one says that for hockey, baseball, football. It doesn't happen.
Right.
But you got one in, and we're going to play it in a second. The reason the Elmer Fudd was invented was because Owen and I put our heads together, and we were looking for Elmer Ferguson, which is the media award that they hand out at the Hall of Fame.
Bob McKenzie.
Bobby Mack. Yeah. Like, you know, I think Jim Houston went in this year. Yeah. Like, we're talking heavy hitters. Get the Elmer Ferguson. And I couldn't remember his last name. And he said deadpan like you believed it.
Like it was Elmer Fudd.
That it was the Elmer Fudd Award.
Of course.
Yeah, that's all that came to my head. You were like, Elmer, it's like the Elmer. And I'm like, Elmer Fudd.
Mm-hmm. So Elmer Fudd Award is now officially our award. And we just hand it out to people that do funny stuff. Or
sure.
Basically, we'll do whatever we ask them to do, and you happened to pull that off last night.
They appease us.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you're a part of the show, so I don't know. This is a bit dicey, you winning the Elmer Fudd. And Ray won it last night, too, and he's a part of the show as well.
Yeah.
But this was you doing your part about 15 seconds to go in the first period last night.
He turns around and fires it. Anderson has to readjust to make a high-quality save with 19.4 seconds left in the first period. We'll call that a half chance. It wasn't a great chance. Okay. It was a half chance.
Right into the Elmer Fudd. The half chance cuts off Gord.
I think
too.
Gord said right away, "What are you talking soccer right now?"
Well,
you had to make Gord aware.
I had written the words beside me and taped them to the window.
That's preparation.
In giant block letters so that I could remember them. And I was like, okay, that's kind of a half chance. And I looked and it caught me out of the corner of my eye. And that's how I was able to throw. I interrupted Gord, and Gord knew about it afterwards. I told him, I'm like, yeah, we're trying to work some words in.
I love that.
But Franklin, one of the directors in the truck, he tracks Overdrive, so he knew about the words right away.
Oh, yeah. Well, Hedge and Dutchie were playing it on SportsCenter.
Love it.
Yeah, it was great. And Ray got his Elmer Fudd last night, too. We'll play that at 5 when Ray Ferraro comes on. So we got a guy on the line here. We got a guy. Made a career out of half chances.
Jersey's numbers retired. Downtown.
The last Maple Leaf to ever wear the number 14.
Wow.
Yeah, because Keon, it's up.
Yeah, he's in the rafters.
In the rafters.
We all have history with Matt.
We all know him from different versions of his hockey career.
Yeah.
Here is longtime NHLer, just over 1,000 games. Matt Stajan. What's up, Stage?
What's up, guys? It's a great intro.
Thank you. Did you know that? I guess you would know that. With Keon 14 going up, you're the last Leaf to ever wear that number.
Yeah, I think my dad told me that, too. He's pretty proud of that. But I always said I would have given up that number while I was playing there. I obviously, that was my number of choice, but if they ever wanted to retire earlier, I was all on hands-on to give it up. So, but it was an honor to wear that number and play for Toronto. So
yeah, that would have been, and that was back in the day where like Keon was never around, right? Like everyone knows about his strained relationship, and that's been renewed, and now he's around quite often.
Yeah, and I followed, I think, Jonas Hoglund wearing that number. So it's not like I was the first guy to come out wearing it. I think a bunch of guys had worn it. So I was wearing 41 at that camp when I made the team. And actually, my first game, I wore 41, and I remember Ty Domi coming up to me and said, "You got to get out of that number." And I got it changed pretty much in the day. Pappy did it. It was like one day, and I had it for the first game the next year.
Matty, what's it like to not go to the rink every day? Everybody has a different experience where you're just kind of waking up and you're not playing hockey. You've done it for so long, and everyone's experience is different. What's it like for you? You kind of, you know, beside yourself, you don't know what to do with yourself, or you're just dealing with family stuff and looking after your wife and kids, and it's an easy transition?
Yeah, it's definitely busy. It's different. I see how guys definitely can struggle with it. But I think playing in Europe last year brought some nice closure for me and my family, and we're so busy at home. We got two kids under 5 years old, so it's busy, and I've enjoyed it. Obviously, you miss a lot about the game and being in the dressing room, and as you guys know, that's something you'll never be able to replicate. But everybody's going to reach this point, and I'm really enjoying watching my kids grow and spending time at home and waking up and just having, not a job for now, and it's been nice.
You guys were talking before you came on. What is, are you going to be a guy that maybe lets yourself go? Are we going to put 30 on in the first year? Or where are you going to be at as far as keeping within striking distance of playing weight?
No, I think I'm going to be fit. I think the trend, if you really look at it, is most of the guys that have to go Messi up top, or I like to call it Sundin up top, because that's who I looked up to. Most of the guys keep themselves in good shape because we don't have the hair, so you got to keep the physique. So I think I'll be fine. I'm not too worried about that, but I guess you can call me in 5 years and we'll see.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think everyone says that right after they retire.
Yeah, and like then, who's gone Messi and has really put it on? I don't know. Tell me a guy.
Well, there's
a guy, I'm not going to say it, but
there's a guy
who's got a couple kids in the NHL, maybe one in Calgary.
Yeah, but he's the greatest, though, so he's awesome.
Yeah, but that's true.
For the most part.
Attaboy. Yeah, man, you got to keep it rolling. Keep it tight, absolutely. With Matt Stajan, who just announced his retirement yesterday, what's more likely for you in the future? Let's get you back to work here. Are you going to become a media big shot or get back into the game somehow?
Yeah, I don't know. Right now I'm just going to, kind of take my time and try a few things part-time, maybe I'll try a few intermissions here at the Flames games, or you know, I did have done a little bit of coaching, or I helped with development camp, see what it's like to be on the ice. We'll see. I think I'm enjoying time with my kids right now, coaching, you know, 4-year-olds, and that'll all fall into place, I hope. And yeah, I think no one really knows. I think, Jeff, how long did it take you to figure that out? You too, Noodles, you guys.
I think it took about 4 or 5 years, Matty, yeah. Where you just kind of, I mean, I did nothing. I teed it up for 4 or 5 years, and then I realized that kid's pretty boring, and then yeah. I got a job.
I was the other way. I retired, and Daryl Sutter called me the same day and was like, okay, you're starting with us. So, and then the day I left Calgary, I started with TSN, so I really haven't stopped.
You need a vacation, yeah. Badly.
Maybe I need to. I'm going to go away for some time. But, yeah, for some reason, I just kind of kept going. And
yeah, but Noodles, you were Kipper's goalie coach. That was like a vacation for you because he was so good.
That's true.
Kind of were there.
Yeah, but you know I had to keep him in line. So that was
true.
A full-time
That's
job.
True. That's very true. No, it was awesome having you around. But, yeah, I don't know. That's the difficult part, I think, for a lot of guys. But, you know, you just kind of stay involved somehow, and if you're a good person and you have the connections, I think opportunity comes your way. So we'll see.
Well, how about our boy Koliakovo, the biggest shooter in morning radio in Toronto? I'm sure you've been on with him and you're tracking him. I know you guys talk quite often. Did you see that coming when you guys were playing?
No, I probably not. It makes some sense, though. You know, I don't know. He had a lot of time off when he played, so he's probably very you know, got to get practice a lot. You know, I think he might have caught him commentating a bit on the trainer's table back in the day. But you know what, I heard Carlo, he said he was chirping me a bit with you, Brian.
Oh yeah.
About my minor hockey career. But Carlo wrote the coattails of his brother for quite a bit.
Well, hang on a sec,
Paulo,
Chewy.
Paulo
hang on a sec.
Guy, Paulo was the guy that everybody wanted. Carlo was just kind of there.
That. Yeah, that's a fact.
Chewy, listen to this.
Fact.
Hayes said yesterday on your Bantam team, you were the 10th best player on your Bantam team. And Hayes said he was the 3rd best player.
I think I said 9th. I was 9th.
I don't know. My boy Matty Foy was probably the best. And then Carlo thought he was the best, but he was just, you know, he was trending upwards. But I don't know. It's crazy because a lot of guys, you know, you have your Spezzas and guys who are the best all the way through, but like then you look at, you know, like Mark Giordano, he was in AA. Like he was way better than you, Hazy, and he's playing in AA.
I know. So, I took his spot
look at
somehow.
Him Norris Jam. Yeah, but it was fun. You meet so many good guys through the years, and whenever I run into guys, I'm living in Calgary right now, but whenever I see guys, even from minor hockey or junior, it's like no time has passed. Everybody's just. It's a great world, the hockey world. I know it's taking a lot of heat right now and stuff, but you meet so many good people. So I think we can't look past the good stuff because there's a lot more of that than the few things that were, you know, the things that are obviously need to be changed now and are you know, going to be changed.
How's the body? We were talking about, you know, aches and pains. I actually just did an interview this afternoon saying, you know, old goaltenders, you get out of bed, you always try to assess what's wrong.
How you know, the 4 hits your career, how did that hold up?
Hey, it's all about position over there. I just kind of patrol. That's what I did. It's why I laughed.
I know, buddy. Just how's it holding up, though? 4 hits in 14 years. Like, how you feeling?
Yeah, especially at the Saddle, though. They never gave any hits there, so I don't even know if I had any as a Flame. But I took a lot of hits, though. Let's forget that. I got run over quite a few times. But you know what? My body feels good. There was a time last year playing in Europe. I played a lot more minutes. You know, I was playing like 10 to 12 minutes for probably the last 4 or 5 years in the NHL, and then last year you got to play a lot, and there was one time in the game, you know, a puck squirt, it was a kind of a break, and I just couldn't get going, and that's when I kind of knew, I'm like, this is pretty close to the end, so I made sure I enjoyed my last year, and but for the most part, I've been pretty fortunate with injuries. You know, my shoulders have both been my AC joints, you know, I've had MCL and stuff like that, but you know, I'm 35. I feel pretty good, and it hopefully holds up. So,
with Matt Stajan, a big return tonight. Nazem Kadri making his return. Obviously, you were in Toronto for a long time. Take us through that experience when you came back here for the first time as a Flame.
Yeah, that was it was emotional. You know, you're excited, and that's all you know. I I remember I had a tough time in Calgary my first year here too. So going back, it was a nice distraction to go back. And I remember the thing when I got traded, Toronto would come to Calgary first. So they didn't do a video, a welcome back video for Dion, because I don't know what happened when they traded him. There was no welcome back. So I remember when I went back to Toronto, they did absolutely nothing in retaliation for me. So I kind of missed out on the whole appreciation thing. And then, you know, you see guys that play half a season, they get welcome back videos. I'm like, geez, I missed out on that one. But it's emotional, and it was great. It was great. I scored the winning goal with 2 minutes left. It was awesome.
That is so petty, man. I didn't know that the Leafs did that.
That's so crazy.
What are you talking about? I played 10 years in Carolina, and I got feathers, too.
But did you hear his reasoning? Because Dion didn't get one. The Leafs are like, we're not giving one to this guy.
Well, I asked. I'm like, why didn't I get one? I asked somebody, because I still knew all the guys. And they're like, yeah, and, you know, Dion didn't get one. I think there was just kind of whatever the reason was. But then Ian White had gotten traded back.
Yeah,
he got traded to Carolina, and then he went back a second time with Carolina, and they did one for him then. So I was like, huh. I guess I'm that forgettable.
Wow. Well, we need you to get him an alumni jacket and get down there and get the ovation that's long overdue.
You're getting a Leaf alumni jacket, Matty.
I'll be proud to wear that. That was a proud Leaf, I think.
Absolutely.
I'm a Leaf fan. We're all like you guys. So I was very lucky with the places I played, the players I played with. You know, Calgary's an unbelievable city, great organization. And then Toronto's obviously one of the best in the business. So. The New York Yankees of hockey, people would always say. So,
well, it all started. I took you under my wing a long time ago, Stage. And
you did.
I'm glad you made it, buddy.
And old dog owed me he taught me just to go no bucket all the time, just let it go. And
well, it was tough for you to show that off to people in warm up, but you had to do it anyway.
But that's just, you said you're in the National League, that's what you got to do. And I told guys right through, and in Calgary they have a rule here, they know you have to wear your buckets after Taylor Hall got stepped on. So it was always a tug of war here to do it, but I think they're doing it again. They've started winning some games, so it's good.
Yeah, I do think that was one of the icebreakers. They're like, enough of this, no helmets and warm-up.
I wouldn't insurance play owners. I would not play.
Old dog, we remember that time in preseason, me, you, and one other guy had to play 3-3 on a weekend in preseason, St. John.
Yes, I know. Do you think I was thrilled about that?
No, you weren't, and I was young, so I didn't care. But the one thing I remember is, so we had, we had no vets in the line. Old Dog was the only guy, and there's six first-rounders or whatever. And Old Dog told the team, he's up in the room, he goes, the whole team is going no bucket for warm-up. So our whole team went out there, no bucket. All these guys were playing their first preseason games. We're playing against Alps, and we're playing Ottawa or something. And I don't know, you might have got your pee-pee whacked after that one from CFJ. But that was one of my great stories for Old Dog. I love that story, and it always stuck with me.
That's a leader there.
Yeah, JFJ, I give it to him back. Don't worry about it.
You're the C. The C, Old Dog. I know you guys were debating that, but you're the C after that one.
Oh, yeah. You sent him a text this afternoon, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, I need to do that.
You told him.
I don't need that.
To hook you up.
Huey, don't ever bring JFJ up on this show again. A loser.
Well, congrats on obviously what was an incredible run, over 1,000 games. When you're back in Toronto, if you're up, we got to get you in studio, man. It's got to happen at some point.
Yeah, well, good to see what you guys are doing. I put you guys on out here whenever I have a chance. So, you guys are three of the best in the business. So,
all right, buddy. Appreciate it. Enjoy it.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, Matt Stajan, friend of the show. A three-pack of connections. I mean, I played with him growing up in the MTHL. You played with him on the Leafs. You were with him in Calgary.
Yeah, I was on the staff, and he was great. Actually, him and his wife, fantastic people. I was still integrated with the team because I was kind of the liaison. I went out with him one night, met him up at a bar, and we... Remember that Snooki girl from...
Yeah, from Jersey Shore.
She was like the guest host at this bar. And Stage and I and his wife, and we all went to see her. We went to see her.
Like 4'5".
Yeah, she was like this big. But it was a fun
Snooki.
Night.
She kinda was neat. Huge for a
she
while.
Was so popular.
Like a big, so big, popular. Yeah, like a, not a Kardashian level, but she would be
that type.
Showing up at clubs, and people would be like, Like the Flames are like, we got to go see Snooki.
Exactly.
We'd go out for bottle service, and there'd just be Grey Goose everywhere, and he'd be like to Sundin, fire up a Crown Royal, too. I'm not drinking that. Crown and Cokes only.
That's how he rolls.
Yeah, veteran player.
Yeah.
I love it.
We got some breaking news here. Freddie Anderson will play tonight.
Wow.
Sheldon Keefe says Frederick Anderson went to him and said, I want to play tonight.
Good for him.
Yeah. I love it.
I love it.
He's been their best player all year.
Yep.
He's been their leader. And I love that move. That's an old school move. Yep. I'm playing.
Put me right
That's
back
like when Rocky's wife's lying on the table and she just looks up and says, win, win. And then you play the music. Malls, get that music ready for
what
us.
What are we waiting for?
What are we waiting for?
All right, we'll play that clip next.
There's one thing I want you to do for me.
What?
Come here.
What?
Win.
What are we waiting for? Mickey, Rocky II, Freddie Anderson walked into Sheldon Keefe's office, said, I want to play tonight. I'm playing tonight. And that's exactly what's going to happen. First time in a long time.
He was lying on the training table like Adrian and looked up and said, I'm playing tonight. What are we waiting for?
What is the other one? Chase the chicken.
Catch the chicken, Rock.
That Mickey.
Do you know that he's the actor, remember in Grumpy Old Men?
Yeah. He's the old man who...
The oldest man.
I had bacon for lunch, bacon for breakfast.
Yeah. Those are two of the most underrated movies of
classics.
All time. Grumpy Old Men and Grumpier Old Men.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau.
Yeah. You ever
and
seen
Mickey.
No. They are unbelievable.
You've never seen them?
No. There's people talking about this Curb Your Enthusiasm coming back.
Yeah, that's January. I'm excited about that.
James Bond's coming out soon, too. Do you see the trailer was released today?
Yes.
Care less.
It looks spectacular.
It'll be great.
A Bond trailer, I said this earlier, nothing tops a Bond trailer. The movie could be, it's always at least average. But
for sure.
It's going to be quality. Feeling it. Ray Ferraro coming up. He will receive his Elmer Fudd at 5:05. Jerry's percentages at 5:30.